Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Venus Biotech Limited Q1 FY26 earnings conference call. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not guarantees of future performance and involve risk and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this call is now being recorded. Today on the call, we have Mr. Hitesh Vinles, Managing Director, Ms. Komal Gupta, CEO and CFO. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Hitesh Vinles. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us today for our financial results for the quarter ended 30th June 2025. We have uploaded the press release and investor presentation on our website as well as on the exchanges. I hope that everybody must have gotten an opportunity to go through it. Initially, I would like to discuss the outlook and way forward for Venus Biotech, followed by financial highlights for Q1 2026 of the company, which will be shared by our CEO and CFO, Ms. Komal Gupta. This quarter reinforces our strong growth trajectory, marking the 10th successive quarter of record revenue performance. The company reported an earnings per share of 8.4 for Q1 FY26, marking a 30% YoY increase. In line with its commitment to shareholder value creation, the board paid a dividend of rupees 12.2 crores, equivalent to rupees 5.8 per share, to its shareholders for FY25 in August 2025. The Indian pharmaceutical market registered a YoY growth of 9% in Q1 FY26, with a modest volume growth of 1%. We delivered 19.9% YoY revenue growth for the quarter, driven by steady contributions from all three business verticals. Our generic formulation CDMO vertical continues to deliver healthy performance, driven by customer addition, expansion in product portfolio, and consistent delivery of quality manufacturing products. The trade generics and institutional vertical sustained their growth momentum through deeper penetration across core and adjacent markets, supported by government healthcare schemes such as Ayushman Bharat and Jan Aushadhi. In exports, we are actively pursuing several strategic initiatives aimed at meeting the increasing global demand for high-quality and affordable generic medicines. On the manufacturing front, we are strengthening our operational infrastructure through the upgrade of our recently acquired Plant 6, which remains on schedule for its planned capacity expansion. Additionally, our injectable facility is enhancing our ability to serve diverse customer needs and deliver a wider range of products efficiently. As we move ahead, our outlook on the broader Indian pharma sector remains optimistic. Our focus remains on driving long-term value for shareholders by boosting operational efficiency, nurturing key talent, and expanding our dosage form capabilities. I will now request Ms. Komal Gupta, our CEO and CFO, to discuss the financial performance highlights. Over to you, Komal.
Thank you, Hitesh. Good afternoon, everyone. On the back of performance momentum seen consecutively across the last 10 quarters, we delivered another quarter of consistent performance with revenue of 210 crore rupees, EBITDA 27 crores, and PAT rupees 18 crores. The company recorded 20% YoY growth in revenue, 27% in EBITDA, and 31% in PAT. The company's gross margin expanded by 71 basis points YoY to 38.3%, while EBITDA margin improved by 70 basis points to 12.6%. Venus Biotech is strategically focused on strengthening core capabilities and expanding into high-potential geographies to meet evolving market needs. Through disciplined execution and operational efficiency, we are well positioned to drive sustainable growth, enhance competitiveness, and create long-term value for our shareholders. Our generic formulation CDMO vertical achieved growth of 17.8% YOY, contributing rupees 160 crores in revenue. Our continuous endeavor to ensure delivery excellence and stringent quality standards strengthen our positioning as a trusted CDMO partner in pharmaceutical industry. The trade generics and institutional vertical grew by 25.2% YOY to rupees 44 crores. This growth was driven by enhanced distribution reach, stronger market presence in previously underserved regions, and increased product range. Exports vertical registered 45.4% YOY growth to rupees 6 crores as we continue to deepen our presence in key regulated and semi-regulated markets. As we progress through FY26, the company remains focused on driving process enhancements and strengthening internal efficiency. We are currently witnessing encouraging trends across all business verticals. Backed by a differentiated value proposition and strong customer engagement, the company is optimally structured to unlock its long-term goals in a sustainable and impactful manner. That's all from our side. We can now begin Q&A session. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Dhwanil Desai from Total Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone. Congratulations for a very good set of numbers. My first question is, how is the ramp up on the injectable side? And if you can help us with the utilization and how do we see the ramp up going ahead? A question tied to this is that our gross margin have expanded, significantly. When do we see the full benefit of, cost absorption of the new plant, as the scale up happens on the injectable side?
So, Mr. Dhanil, as discussed consistently in our past conversations also, we want to emphasize that our business is more amenable to be evaluated on longer-term basis rather than quarter-by-quarter and also as a whole rather than part-by-part. Thus, we continue to reinforce this message by bringing to your attention at the company-level performance as opposed to, dosage form-wise performance. Action plans are in place and we are progressing on the various dosage forms, including injectables. With regards to your question on the margin expansion, Komal, if you want to add.
Yeah, so in terms of margin expansion, as we have mentioned in the past, Vanil, we see that we expect the margins expansion to happen. Exactly when the correct operational efficiency balance along with the revenue and capacity expansion hits is difficult to mention the timeline, but we see margins growing as you have been seeing consistently.
No, I appreciate the point of not disclosing utilization, but I think last two quarters we were talking about increased cost depreciation because of the injectable plant. So I think it would be really good to know that, how that cost absorption is happening along with the scale up, even if you don't want to talk about specifics, because we were talking about those factors in the last quarter, right? So
last quarter, we gave injectables revenue detail. We did not give any other detail, and that was in line with what we have been saying for earlier all three quarters. Last year was our first year of injectables facility commercialization, and that's why we promised 31st March call, we promised all the investors that we would give injectables revenue detail at the end of the year, and we delivered. which was not a very, encouraging number. But we don't intend to, in addition to giving the vertical-wise details, which we continue to give right from beginning, we don't want to add up another thing. Last quarter, that was the reason why we discussed. Depreciation, of course, in depreciation increase was coming in from two factors for first three quarters, which was injectables depreciation. We never give injectables depreciation as a separate number, but we maintained that most of the increase is because of injectables. In plant 4, there was also additional depreciation coming in from plant 2 extension capitalization. This year also, the reduction, if you see, is coming in from mainly the injectables and also some portion of plant extension. That much we can mention and we can continue to mention, but we don't intend to continue to give the exact ramp of details for every dosage form, which we do not do earlier also. We don't give tablet, capsule, liquid, sachet, like such details. In past, we have never given.
Appreciate that. Second question is on the, I think in the commentary we talked about the export market and some steps that we are taking. So if you can dwell more on that, so I think export numbers have been growing, but still I think, still relatively smaller compared to the scale, in the other two segments. So if you can talk on that and how do we see the journey from here?
Sure. While this quarter also, if you see, our growth has been good, but of course it is a small base, and we really have to unlock more markets and unlock more products in our ROW segment. So the rest of the Asia, the CIS, the Africa, these are the markets that or the geographies that we are active in, and we have been adding more and more dossiers, getting registrations done, as well as getting renewals of our existing products done in these markets. Some new markets also have been we have been trying to open, so the registrations are expected. Most of the regulatory authorities don't really give timeline commitments here. So, we have been waiting for some of them. In the past, we had also talked about, in licensing of certain MAs for Europe. And those are also, in the process of transfers where the regulatory authorities, the filings have been done and we are now in the wait mode to get the transfer approvals. So there is a lot of work going on in the background, and we expect we are optimistic and we are expecting that as each of these various filings unlocks or approvals come through, we will be able to commercialize and expand our vertical over there.
That's very helpful. I'll have more questions. I'll come back in the queue. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sudarshan Padmanabhan from Ask NDPMS. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for taking my question and congrats on a good set of numbers. So my question is, just taking forward from the previous participant, not necessarily dwelling on numbers, but if we are looking at utilization of, the injectable plant, how have we seen the ramp up in that plant? And, just taking forward your comments in terms of, one is, of course, new plant addition is, very good for us. But how has the wallet share improved in the last, 2 to 3 quarters, if you can qualitatively give some color on that?
Yeah. So, Sudarshan ji, basically, the CDMO space is not very well documented. So, even for us, we don't, we can track how each customer is increasing or in contribution to us or in magnitude in terms of how much, business we are able to attract. But wallet share is very difficult for us to know because, there is no real set of published data, and also customers also don't like to disclose, what percentage or what is the total, outsourcing they are doing. So hard to answer that question. So on our side, the way we look at it is more in terms of, the client concentration being an important factor. So since we are a B2B, business, our internal metrics have been around ensuring that we don't have over-dependence on any one customer. So we have been, over the last 4-5 years, consistently improving in reducing the contribution of our topmost client. And this year also, this quarter also, we are staying in line. All our growth is coming from distributed set of clients. It is not, a significant or chunky growth from one business or one customer or one product. And so that way we are maintaining the health and the focus of broad-based, business development in this vertical. In your third question was around, the utilization levels. On the utilization levels, we are in, not much is changing because of, one quarter is very small period for us to say. So if you look at, our last year's, numbers, then we are within a range of similar utilization.
Sure, sir. The reason why I was asking more on the wallet share and the interest from customers is, the schedule M, which is, intending to be, more implemented aggressively with time. So just wanted your sense more qualitatively, from your interaction with the clients, that is the ecosystem gearing up towards, this schedule M implementation, focus on more quality. I'm trying to understand the polarization from unorganized, inefficient players to organized. Is it, starting to move?
Sure. I think you hit on a very important point, Sudarshanji, that, even when we first got listed, this was one of our important theses that given the very highly fragmented nature of the contract manufacturer industry, very large number of people present, and the increasing quality pressures, we definitely expected that it should lead to more benefit towards the organized players. Now, if you look at Schedule M, there have been a lot of changes done in terms of quality expectations. They are on the infrastructure side, which needs capital. They are on the, day-to-day reporting and, defect monitoring and reduction side, which requires competent manpower and systems. And they are on the, soft aspects of actually doing, the actual tests being, the quality tests also being enhanced. So Indian Pharmacopoeia has also been revised. So more tests are required to be done. Dissolution test has entered in almost all domestic supplies. So, all of this means that there is more cost, there is more oversight, and there is a focus on, more careful execution. And, this is where, the investments that we have been doing, Vinlas, in many years, whether it was our, electronic systems, moving our QA and QC to electronic systems, or whether it is our infrastructural investments, the new facilities, or even the upgrades to the older facilities, and, even on the manpower side, where we have very strong, performance-linked compensation, both in terms of variable pay as well as in terms of equity-linked compensation. So these are very important things that we have been laying the foundation, and we hope that as this structural change of new Schedule M continues to implement and the government becomes more and more stricter over a few further years, organized companies and people who have this forward thinking should benefit. And so that's how our thesis has been, and we continue to believe in that strongly.
Sure, sir. So one final question before I jump back to the queue is, today when I look at the raw material prices, whether it is chemicals or APIs, you know, lion's share of the prices have actually come down. And, you know, broadly, you know, if you look at the CDMO business, it's a cost plus business model. So just wanted your thoughts whether, you know, is this something, you know, that you would be looking at, or is it something that doesn't really matter in the overall scheme of things, that something goes plus and something goes minus, but business goes as it is?
We can give you the reference of last 10 quarters. There have been quarters when API prices went down a lot, and there have been quarters when API prices grew. Net-net in the longer scheme of things, as you rightly mentioned, we don't see a solid impact as such, because you end up reaching where you want to reach by doing more volume when API prices are a little bit low. But that ultimately gets also, when you see API prices rising, really your growth percentages don't go haywire. So net-net, in the long term, you end up being positive, good. So we continue to have that optimistic sense. That doesn't change because of API prices going down.
Yeah. And also one more thing is that, you know, all our facilities are general category products. So we are not in antibiotics. And a lot of the fluctuation that you see or hear about API prices, because antibiotics are very high value,
high volume
and high value. Mm-hmm. So therefore, you know, those companies which are having those dosage forms will have a greater impact, because we are mostly general. So, impact tends to be not so severe that we, point it out.
Sure, sir. Thanks a lot. I'll join.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vilina Jain from Perpetuity Ventures. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Can you highlight the progress which is there on Plant 6 and the commercialization of the same?
Sure. Plant 6, we had acquired sort of a facility, and we are now in the refurbishment, phase. We expect that, it will be about at least maybe 2 to 3 more quarters before we do the mechanical refurbishment, and then we will enter the validation period. But given our, understanding, we are completely on track. So there is no slippage there, but, we are expecting also how to bring it sooner so that we can cater to the business requirement. And in terms of CapEx, maybe Komal, you can also share the budget and those aspects.
Yeah, CapEx plan that we mentioned earlier is on track. So 40 to 50 crores CapEx is what is planned for this plan.
Okay, so we can expect the commercialization then only in FY27, assuming 2-3 more quarters of refurbishment and validation.
It is possible that, phase-wise, there might be areas of the facility we might be able to bring up sooner. But, we want, obviously, to be able to do it like that and bring some benefit in this year. But, yeah.
Okay.
The facility, in terms of all the areas and all the sections will mostly come up in next year. But we should have some portion of the facility being able to cater to our requirements here also.
Okay. And on a fully commercialized, optimized capacity, what is the asset turns which we'll be expecting from here?
So other than injectables, with our existing plants and Plant 6 capitalized, we should be able to deliver 1,000 crores revenue there might be some upside coming in later, Vilina, on the basis of our past experience, where some efficiency improvement we are able to bring in at a later stage on the basis of process improvements and, you know, optimizations that are possible in the plant. That should be a later thing though. To start with, as soon as Plant 6 is capitalized, we should be able to easily deliver 1,000 crores aside of injector.
Okay. And given that we are optimistic on the injectables progress, do we have any plans on the phase 2 expansion currently?
No, currently we will trigger that expansion. We want to be very careful in terms of new areas that we are opening. So Plant 6 is the most important capex that we are doing. We need to successfully finish this by this time. Then as soon as the orders require us to do expansion on plant 5 injectable capacity, we'll do that.
Okay.
And that is a much smaller time frame thing, because from the facility-wise capabilities, the utilities and all that area is already built in. We just would add the machinery and qualify it.
So that wouldn't take more than a quarter or two, right?
Yeah. Depending on what machinery we go for, yeah.
Okay, understood. And lastly, on the trade generics business, so although on a YOY basis, we see a growth of 25% for the business, on a QOQ basis, it's been a bit lower. On an annual basis, can we still see like a 200 to 25 crore run rate for this business?
So, Vilina, as you know, we are not giving a guidance. But what I want to say is that even if you look at the past few quarters, there has been a variation in TGX revenue. In some quarters, we are able to, ship and meet the deadline for some of the tenders, and in some quarters there is a seasonal effect in our geographies. So I would think that the base is still not so big that we can go quarter by quarter kind of a trending. We still are just beginning to build this business, and my sense is that we look at it annually. And we are definitely committed to growing and building this vertical, a very strong vertical for Vinla.
Understood. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Avnish Barman from Vargaria. Please go ahead.
Hi. Good afternoon. Thanks for taking my question. Komal, is it possible to split the 18% growth rate in CDMO into volume and pricing?
It's mostly volume-driven growth, if you ask me. There is a very small portion which is driven by because of prices. It's mostly volume-driven.
Okay. And as you mentioned, the bulk of API price decreases we've seen in antibiotic side, which you don't deal with. In your portfolio, the API prices have not moved too much this quarter. Is that a right assumption to make?
No, they have.
No, they have. They have, Avnish. In our portfolio, we are dealing with almost close to 400 different APIs. Right? So, all the prices are also dependent on what is the volume that one is buying at. And also what is the supplier base that one has got in a certain API. So that's why, it's very, very complicated, and we don't want to say that, there is a trend of which is impacting, growth in terms
so
of...
Far, so, down,
yeah.
If everyone is wanting to give us the credit, we did work more to deliver this kind of growth. We agree.
Yeah. I mean, I know it's complicated, but I mean, if you have to put it in simple terms, even if there is like a little bit of API price decline on a blended basis, that means your volumes would have grown even more than 18%, right? That's what you're indicating.
That's correct.
That's correct. Yes, Avnish.
Okay, great. The second question, I don't know whether Komal you mentioned in your opening remarks or not, but I just wanted to know the reason for the depreciation decrease this quarter sequentially. And is this the current run rate before the depreciation for Plant 6 comes in, wherever, whenever it comes in?
Yeah, both are correct. So depreciation reduction remains the same reason that was the reason of increase last year. So injectables capitalization that had happened because we do use WDV method. In initial years, we end up having more depreciation impact. And as the years pass by, the overall depreciation tend to get lower. That is what is exactly happening in our case, and that's why a depreciation reduction. And you are right, this is without the depreciation impact of Plant 6. So whenever we capitalize Plant 6, there will be some depreciation impact coming in.
So, yeah. I mean, before that impact, this is the run rate for the existing business as of now.
Yes, this can be considered as a base run rate for this year.
And I think Hitesh mentioned that some phase-wise commercialization for Plant 6 will happen in the fag end of FY26. So that is when the extra depreciation starts kicking in, I'm guessing.
Yeah, it should. So whenever the capitalization happens, accordingly for that portion of the year, depreciation impact should come in. You're right.
Okay, thank you so much and congrats on a good set of numbers. Thanks.
Thank you.
I request each participant to ask two questions. The next question is from the line of Ankit Gupta from Bamboo Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity and congratulations for a good set of numbers. So, just wanted to check with you, last quarter we had 6 crore of revenues from the injectable segment. I know that you are not disclosing the numbers, but are we growing on a QOQ basis on this number or, it has remained a steady range around that?
Because we have given last quarter the revenue, Q4, if I mention that would kind of be giving the numbers, which I would want to avoid, maybe. So that is the only reason we don't want to do it, although we want to emphasize that we continue to make progress on the action plan for improving capacity utilization for this facility. So.
The improvement, okay, so they are improving, as capacity utilization is improving, quarter and quarter is what you are saying.
So, Ankit, see, the issue is that, we want, whatever the injectable, progress that we are making, we are definitely, trying to accelerate. And the actions required to do that, which is the more companies auditing the dossiers, more companies, auditing the plant, approving, giving us the POs, all of that is in progress, right? So it is something that, dosage form wise, we don't want to, begin the tradition of giving numbers, because anyways, all our business, the facility is also supporting CDMO, it is also supporting our trade generics, eventually for exports also it will go. So that's why we are not providing the dosage form wise revenue breakups or cost breakups and things like that.
So any thoughts on, we can double our capacity in injectable by putting up another floor? So have we reached the stage that we would be taking a call on expansion on the injectable part, or it's too early still?
We would do that when we are very close to the peak utilization of the facility, right? We are definitely not there yet.
At least FY27, you will not take a call on that, and most probably you will take a call in FY27 is what we can think of?
No, we don't know. Honestly, at this point, we don't know. It can happen sooner or it can happen later, which depends on when we see peak utilization limits reaching, as I mentioned, which is close to 100 crores of revenue from this. So when we see that kind of a run rate hitting, then we would, you know, even when we see like a couple of months later, that is where we are going to reach, then we would start off for the capacity expansion. And as earlier mentioned by Hitesh, that is not a you know, very long process. It should be maybe 2 quarters is the kind of timeline it should take for us to do that.
So my last question, second question was on the cash utilization. So it's been a very long time since we've been, you know, accumulating cash and have a very large kitty with us. So any thoughts on how we'll think about utilizing it or distributing it to shareholders? Any progress on that front, or have you taken any call on it yet?
Yeah, so since the we got listed, we have maintained compliance with our dividend policy, which is distributing close to 20% of the profit, which we have done consistently, and we hope to continue to do that in future as well. That saying that, second thing is for M&A transactions also we have been exploring, but we don't want to rush it. We did not come across something solid. So we are not even in the final stages of some opportunity. But we stay open to sharing the wealth with all the stakeholders. That stays on card. And if we come across some opportunity, we would go for that. If at all, you know, we are able to, you know, completely stabilize injectable business as well, and Plant 6 is also up and running, by that time, if we don't see any inorganic opportunity really clicking in, we would go for CapEx on our own for some other dosage form. That's the plan.
Sure. Okay. Thank you, Anish. All the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nirali Shah from Ashika Stock Service Limited. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. Just from the previous participant's question, I wanted to have a clarity. What could be the peak utilization for our all of the facilities on a blended basis? I mean, currently we are in mid-60s range.
There's a lot of background noise. You're asking about peak utilization
for all the facilities.
For all the facilities on a blended basis.
Yes.
So I think that in the last year's...
Mishra, can I request you to mute your lines when you're not talking? There is a lot of background noise. Yes,
sure.
Thank you.
So we are in the similar, you know, your utilization levels, because you know, if you look at, you know, Q4 versus Q1, you know, the revenue is, you know, that way. So it, our revenue and utilization are going to move hand in hand, because most of the growth is coming from volume. So automatically you can sort of triangulate.
Yeah. So the moment Plan 6 is ready, we are ready for 1100 crores of revenue at peak utilization, and but we see that there might be some, you know, upward possibility in that as well.
Okay. And next one on the exports. So we did grew 45% YOY. Should we view this as a sustainable growth, or was there any one-off element in this quarter?
None of the verticals, as we earlier mentioned, we should look at the quarterly growth number and consider that as base. It's better to look at in a long-term scenario. For all three verticals, we say that and maintain that for the ones where there is good growth percent, and the ones where, you know, we might not be very happy with that kind of, you know, growth percent. Both, no point looking at the quarterly growth number. We stay optimistic on exports, but what kind of growth percent number, as you are aware, we don't really give the guidance for the upcoming period.
And there was no one-off element, right?
No one-off element.
No one-off.
Okay, and just a last one, because you mentioned
sorry,
that
but I request you to rejoin the queue for the follow-up question, and
okay,
there are
sure.
many participants
sure.
on the queue. Thank you.
Okay.
The next question is from the line of Nitin Agrawal from DAM Capital. Please go ahead.
Sir, thanks for taking my question. Sir, Hitesh, on our branded trade generic business, if you can give us some qualitative sense on, so over the last, say, last year or so thereabouts, how has the portfolio expanded for the business and from a geographical perspective, how has it increased the area that you've been reaching out to, or number of distributors that you've been reaching out to?
Sure, Nitin. In terms of our portfolio, we have an active portfolio of somewhere around close to 200+ products, and we are also increasing this. My sense is that to really have there's still a lot of room to grow in terms of portfolio also for us. It happens stepwise. Some of the larger companies that you see, they have a portfolio of more than 600, 800 products. So there's a lot of room for us to grow there. In terms of the geographic areas, we are still mostly focused in the north, where UP, Bihar, Madhya Pradesh, and Rajasthan. These are the areas where we have been more successful. And we are now also looking to have more push and see how we can activate and strengthen the other states. So that progress is also ongoing. In terms of our distribution network, again, just based on between last quarter and this, so Q4, we had already talked about close to about 1,000+ stockist network that we are working with. So that number, last 3 months, no significant change over there. So this has been more on the increasing the depth of more products. The growth is on that, and some there obviously some seasonal aspects between Q4 and Q1. The longer term view is intending to have more than 5,000-6,000 stockists in order to be able to cover India in a justified way, and that requires more products also. That will be able to put more products also when you have a larger network, and of course requires the strengthening of the team and all those things.
And then, since you mentioned that, do you think that it will be feasible for us to hit the channel for distribution for reach?
I'm sorry, I could not hear that question cleanly. Can you please repeat?
Nitin, can you please be a little louder? We can't hear you properly.
I'm sorry. I was asking, since you mentioned that up to 5,000-6,000 distributors would be an aspirational number to get to make a proper optimal reach out on trade generic business. How much time do you think it'll take for us to get there?
So, Nitin, it really depends on, when a lot of times when you appoint a stockist and you start the business, you realize that the stockist, the payment cycle with him works with us or not. Is he, as organized as we would want him to be or not? Is he as aggressive in his area push the products? So there always is some number of stockists that you end up, dropping, and some number of stockists that you keep on adding. And because we work with a very small sales force, we don't have like a huge army of, medical reps like branded generics companies. So if you have, you have to be very, very particular in understanding the flow of goods, what kind of products the stockist is selling, how it is, how quickly he is able to liquidate which kind of products. And based on that only you increase the exposure with each stockist. So this is going to be a sort of a nucleation and a growth kind of a model. So you nucleate few and then see which ones of them grow and then keep on expanding. So it's not like we don't want to say that we are less aggressive in terms of appointing and trying out new stockists, but we also have to be very importantly careful and make sure that the health of the business is appropriate and we are not dumping inventory or there is no, expansion is justified under the right health reasons of the this thing. So, my last okay, when, you know, one could do it, immediately also, but there will be a time, we will build it strongly. So.
Thanks. And the last one, Hitesh, is, over in the market where you're operating, what's the experience been with the competitive intensity? Has it, you see any major changes? Has it gone up? There's been a lot of companies, at least the larger listed companies also seem to be interested in scaling up their brand generic, the trade generic game. So have you seen more competitive intensity increasing in some of this business?
Yeah, I think that, as more and more companies jump into the fray, the branded generic companies have sort of a dual problem to solve. One is that they have to build a new vertical, which is, working on slightly different, way as opposed to their branded generic. So you are not meeting the doctor, so it's a different, capability. Second is that when they sell low-priced products, even if they are branded differently, the same product goes and cannibalizes their branded generic revenue in their core markets also. And we have seen large companies talking about, even in their earnings call, rejigging the distribution network because of this cannibalization issue. So it's not a straightforward thing where anybody who jumps in is able to, secure those wins. But yes, this area is getting more attention, and one of the things that I am actually quite happy about is that the perception that trade generics are poor quality products, that is going away. You know, because as more and more companies are looking to come in and bring products into the trade generic vertical, the acceptance is increasing. We are seeing more, even patient level, acceptance coming up when people go onto the, websites, online stores and see same product available at various different prices. They ask this question and some of our stockists come and say that, okay, your product, even though we are not putting them on, the 1MGs or the farm easies, but they are now there and locally the stockists are pushing them and are able to generate business. So my sense is that this vertical is going to grow and India needs it too, right? Because a huge population is living in these villages and kasbas and, I have spoken in the past also, Allahabad has 3,000 villages in one district. How are you going to cover it with branded generic medical reps? So there will be a huge market opening that we believe should happen and enough room for everyone to grow. And yes, of course, competitive intensity will also be there.
Thank you so much, Tesh. Best luck.
Thank you. I request each participant to ask two questions. The next question is from the line of Veer Vadera from Niveshaay. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon. Congratulations for a great set of numbers. So I have one question. If we look over the period of time, the company's product mix has evolved and the overall share of CDMO segment has been declined a little bit. Even though it holds significant revenue potential in future, how should we view this trend going forward? And also I wanted to know the margin profile for each segment like CDMO, trade generic and export side.
So the margin profile stays similar within the verticals. We don't see a huge change that has happened. A little bit on higher side, I would say, but not not a significant change for me to really mention. In terms of how we see the growth, honestly, I'll tell you how we look at it internally. We are looking at all the three verticals where there is infinite potential for us to grow in all three. And we are trying our best to, to push all the three segments separately. Whichever we are able to execute better, we are very happy. And so that is how we look at it. We don't want to, gun for a growth of a particular vertical more than the other. That is not how we look at it, because we have, of course, separate teams and we have separate strategies for all three verticals, and we are trying to push all three.
Okay. Thank you. Best of luck for the future.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Amit Agicha from HG Hawa. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. What is the current book size?
So your voice is cracking.
Madam, is that audible now?
Yes, please continue.
Yeah, so my question was like, what is the current order book size in value and volume terms, and how much is from repeat customers versus new ones?
Yeah, this is a competitively sensitive information, so we are unable to share this.
Okay, thank you. All the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shreyansh Jain from 3A Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, sir. Please continue.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity and congratulations for a good set of numbers. So my first question is, could you throw some light on our strategy?
Sir, can you please be a little louder? We can't hear you properly.
Mr. Hello. Jain?
Yes, please continue.
So could you throw some lights on strategies to compete with pharma giants like Cipla in trade generic segment?
We are not always competing, right? So first of all, I want to also, in light of the prior question, so Cipla has been doing trade generics for the last 40 years, right? They are the largest with 2,500 crore kind of revenue. We would love to make Cipla trade generics in our CDMO vertical, right? So when Cipla grows and we are able to supply to them as a manufacturer in CDMO, that is a win for us. And yes, when our product goes in the market and that is seen as a product coming from which is having authentic quality, affordable price, and accessible, then we also win some market share through in our trade generics vertical. So the goal is never to have a winner takes all. And in these complicated markets, Cipla is, even though it's been around for 40 years, but Lee Ford is also about the same size, which they have built in the last 15 years. So how could Lee Ford build a business when Cipla, was the biggest giant out there? So, I think the idea has to be
so big,
a huge opportunity, and also is execution. It is about your team, your products, the quality, consistency, your relationship, your managing the sales channel, how you are, incentivizing your people. So a lot of those things have a play, and that is part of building the business.
Okay, and could you highlight the market size of trade generic segment in India?
Again, it's not covered by IPM or any of the larger sort of data providing companies. But there have been some estimates talking about close to 30,000-35,000 crore kind of a space. I don't really know whether that is validated or not.
Okay. And do we see any challenges in terms of CDMO business if the US imposed tariffs on Indian players who is our clients?
No, not at all. In fact, I think that one of the good things about us is that most of our business is in domestic market. So in some sense, neither our customers' domestic market business nor our domestic market business is really impacted by the international tariff kind of issues. So we are somewhat insulated. Although we don't have opportunities to, you know, sell in those markets either, but we are somewhat insulated by these kind of, you know, things.
Okay, okay, understood. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Paras Cheda from Purplon Vertex Ventures LLP. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, congratulations for the strong set of results. Just to clarify from my understanding, did I understand it correctly that our peak revenue potential, including the plant fix, but excluding the injectables, is about 1100 crores?
No, no. Including the injectables, that is 1100 crores. Excluding injectables, it would be 1000 crores. Injectables about 100 crores. That is how we are reaching 1100 crores, including injectables. However, you know, I also mentioned that through efficiency initiatives that we generally drive, and in past we have seen that happening in plant two, there might be some upside to this number in practice.
Okay, so this is also inclusive of plant six potential. Okay. And again, for clarification, if you don't come across any inorganic opportunity, because you've been, I think, you know, sitting with this cash for quite a long time now, this will, again, you know, get into organic capex mode once again.
Yeah, so, you know, the way we think about it is ke, you know, we want to do strategically more dosage form expansion. Injectable was the first one. Plant 6 is, you know, expansion of the core. So oral solid, again, we have done that. But, you know, once we have used up plant 6 capacity, and we are obviously the line of sight to that, and injectable is also ramping up, we would love to then add another dosage form. And if we don't find a inorganic, then we would want to build and obviously grow. So there will always be phase-wise, you know, very judicious but very thoughtful use of capital for organic and inorganic in that manner.
Right. And when you say another dosage form, you mean injectables, or it could be another?
No, no, another.
Another dosage form. So like we don't have so many dosage forms that we are not currently in, steroids, hormones, we are not in soft gel capsules, inhalers, we are not in eye drops, we are not in so many ointments, you know. So there is a lot of room to grow, and our strategy is that as we add a dosage form, it should cater to all three of our verticals. So we have to be able to use it in you know, TGX institution, in CDMO, as well as in exports. So that's why we want to, you know, keep going that way after stabilizing each step.
And is it fair to assume that this injectable facility, I mean, the margins over there are relatively better, you know, compared to this one, oral solid drug?
Yeah, I mean, on a fully developed business, the gross margins for injectables are higher. That's the industry sort of.
I mean, how much percentage would you put it on EBITDA margin?
If you look at some of the pure injectable players in 3DMO, they are operating somewhere in the range of 18 to 21% EBITDA.
Right. So potentially at least 10% of our revenue could be at least high teens to 20 in that region, potentially.
Potentially, yes, once we execute and are able to get
there. Yeah, and just last query from my end, in terms of, you know, broadly revenue growth over the medium term, let's say 3 to 5 years, and you will have some capacity organically or inorganically that will keep coming up, and there is this market growth that we are seeing. Right. So, I mean, what kind of revenue growth do you sort of, you know, sort of not really project, but, you know, aim towards over the next 3 to 5 years kind of a thing? I mean, on a, you know, sort of a CAGR basis, something like that.
And
given where the market is, given the trends in the industry, etc.
Yeah. this is, you know, we don't want to sort of, you know, say that we are not giving a guidance and then give a guidance. But I think the right thing, sir, is to look at our past performance in the last 10 quarters, how we have delivered. And, you know, our aspiration is always to better things. And we will continue to do everything that we can, staying committed to the same, without saying that this is the number or that is the number that we are aiming for. We are trying to leverage every opportunity, unlock avenues for growth, and at different points in time, there will be different activities that we have to focus on to get there. So, but we see room for growth in every vertical.
Right. So, I mean, so for example, you know, what we see, if you look at the historical growth itself, you know, I mean, over the last 2 years, financial years, we've grown by 50%, for example, I mean, broadly. Right. So the current industry setup, the dynamics, the way it is, the, you know, some sort of the historical growth rate that you point out, there is that room to grow further, the way the industry is poised and the dynamics that are there currently.
So, you know, while there are challenges, there are also opportunities, right? So, you know, as we also discussed that higher quality systems and higher quality demands are pushing pressure on, you know, the smaller manufacturers. And so there is probably, you know, a sort of a downwind that benefit that we organized players like us will get. Second thing is that, you know, the growth in trade generics, not just for Windlass, but for many other people, so that is undocumented in the industry growth numbers. So as that grows, again, we will have, you know, more opportunities to grow. And third, which is actually probably one of the most important things, if you look at the top 50, you know, India listed companies, and if you ask them, who is doing capex for their domestic market? Probably the answer will be very, very, very few. Because there is a strong base of, you know, organized suppliers or contract manufacturers like us. So unless companies are, so we see this, all these signs as opportunities. And of course, competition is part of life, right? So, you know, you have to always, you know, price right. You have to always deliver and meet the service expectations and, you know, grow that way. So that remains the same for everyone.
Yeah, so just to clarify, we are not saying that we would maintain the growth percentages to, you know, kind of say that the maintain the growth percentages that we have given in last 2 years or last 5 years or last 10 years, the CAGR and the percentage growth and the averages would be very different. So what we are saying is we can only commit to you that we would continue to make our efforts. We would continue to do stuff that is good for company in the long term, instead of looking at the short-term picture. That is what we are committed to. That is what we have been doing. And so that's why just to, you know, while we see all the growth possibilities, we don't want you to assume from our answer that there is a particular percentage of growth. A percent, you know, bettering the growth percent is not what we are saying. It might happen or it might not happen. That is not something that we know. What we are internally pushing might be a much bigger number, but we don't know if that is going to happen or not.
No, I understand that. I mean, see, I've been tracking the company for the last couple of years now, although I missed this last quarter. But I mean, I must admit that this is one of the most very well-managed companies, at least amongst what I have come across. And, you know, the management is excellent. Now, the only one thing that I think, you know, and again, you know, because you are better at your industry, but that there could be a little bit of that, you know, aggressive move towards capacity expansion given our investments where we are, or, I mean, the cash that we're sitting on. But all said and done, is of course up to you all, but I mean, it's one of the best companies. So I do understand it's difficult to project, but just a sort of a trend that I was looking out for in terms of where do we stand and, you know, the industry growth.
Thank you for the kind words.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. Due to time constraints, we will take that as the last question for today. On behalf of Finless Biotech Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.
Thank you.
Thank you.